All right, here we go. Record. So let me bring this back up. And the chat is getting a preview of the train wreck that we're having. All right, here we go.
Get on aboard, people.
That's right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. This is episode 229 on November 2nd. Wait, we're in November? Holy crackers. All right. On November 2nd, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Podner.
And I'm Greg McMillan.
Oh, we are having a train wreck. This is one of those episodes that is going to go down in history. So if you're just now tuning in, we've had to jump from one call platform to another. Skype was being a punk, and so we are on Facebook. We started getting along, and then I was like, wait a minute, did I press the record button? And of course, no, I didn't. So we are
an hour into the show. No, not really.
Yeah. thankfully, the chat room has been very quiet, or I should say they're okay with what we're doing.
Very accommodating. Very accommodating.
Yes. But needless to say, this is going to be one of those episodes. We haven't had a train wreck in a long, long time.
Usually we cancel before we have a train wreck.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But we decided to push through, because what's good about a train wreck? You can't take your eyes off of it. Got to keep going.
And in this case, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but we don't know if it's a train or the actual opening.
Yeah. Oh, how are you guys doing? We'll start with you, Greg.
I'm not doing too bad. I've been enjoying a week off, but the weather could have been a little better. We've had a lot of rainy days, but today I sent back a moment lens, which was something that I really didn't want to do, but it was the telephoto lens. And when I first put it on my iPhone 8 Plus, it had some vignetting in the corners, and I wasn't very happy with that. In speaking with Moment, they said that, yeah, that will happen with that lens. So I said, well, you know, I like my macro, my wide angle. I'll keep them, but I'm going to send the other one back. So it's all good between me and Moment. And I've got the telephoto on the 8 Plus anyway, so I'll get by with that. But nice. Other than that, I haven't done a lot of shooting this week. I did a little bit out on a little beach the other day. It was cold. It's been a pretty cold week up here. It's been in the single digits on the Celsius scale, which would probably put it anywhere from 30 and below for you guys. Nice. No, wait, 40 and below. No.
Yeah.
And
that's jacket weather.
That's about it.
That's jacket weather.
Yeah. Actually, almost coat weather.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Dave, what have you been up to?
Well, non-photography. By the way, before I go into what I've been up to, this is why you need to join us live when we record.
Yes.
Because if all you do is listen to the podcast, you're missing a good hunk of what's going on right now.
Yeah, there's a pretty big hunk of something going on.
Exactly. Exactly. Nick, I'm sorry about the smell of that too. This week I'm in my prep week for the last big race for me for the year in terms of running. This Sunday we have the Pittsburgh 10-mile race coming up, which normally, because it's early November, you have to look at the forecast and say, well, is it going to snow? Are we going to have sleet? You know, you have to worry about cold weather events.
Yeah.
But this Sunday, we're having to worry about thunderstorms.
Oh, wow.
They're actually calling for at race time, which is Sunday morning at 8 a.m., it being in the 60s. And our high temperature this time of year should be upper 50s. So, yeah, this is not normal at all. This whole, you know how we all thought 2016 was weird overall?
Yeah.
2017's got to beat by so much, it's unbelievable.
Well, it looks like tomorrow and Monday, so tomorrow being Friday, and Monday, we're going to hit 80 degrees.
Oh, that's completely, like I said, just
insane.
Crazy nuts. Crazy nuts. Well, the one good thing is we have had not just rainy weather, but a little bit of a cooler snap for the last few days. So
yeah.
We are starting to see the colors change a little bit more. So there's a couple of places where I'm going by where I'm actually able to see colors pop a little bit more to get some fall color photos before, you know, I'm assuming we're going to have 60 degree weather and then the next day it's going to be snowing.
Sure.
It just feels like that. The one of those years where you don't get fall, you go right from summer to late summer to winter.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We missed summer up here. We went from spring to fall, and I put my winter tires on Monday, and now bring it on. Oh.
No, thank you.
I'm about as ready as I'm going to be, I guess.
Oh, yeah. So I, you know, let's see, what did I shoot? On Sunday, my two oldest children got baptized. And so I, of course, did some video. And one nice thing about iPhone and taking video is they have given us the option to capture still shots while you record. And so I was able to get some still shots while recording. So I felt like I had a two-in-one. You know, a video camera and a camera all in one, and was able to capture those moments for them and us and my great 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 grandchildren. They'll see it one day because, you know, the internet won't go away. I did that, and one of the things that I noticed was, you know, you'll stop the video and the video will always be last because while you're taking pictures, it's writing them in those orders. And once you've completed the video, then it'll place it right after those because it's done. And so I was like, because a lot of times I'm thinking, oh, wait, are those going to be in between? No, they're not going to be before. Oh, they're after the video. And so if you, say, take different scenes and you take shots in between those scenes, those are good, you know, sort of a good buffer or placement so that you can organize your images and your videos. So I thought that was pretty cool. But other than that, I've been working my new position finally after a year, and I got into some fiber splicing. So if you saw on Instagram, I posted my new work office. I was pulling a fiber trailer behind my work truck, and you know, what's nice about the fiber trailer is that it's heated and air conditioned, and so the elements aren't that brutal when you're working on that type of stuff. So you could check that out on my Instagram.
Yeah, I did see that, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I was learning a lot. It was, let's just say my brain was tired.
Can imagine.
And so, you know, Tuesday being Halloween, I was wiped out. But, you know, I wasn't able to get out of going around the block with the kids. And so I was thoroughly wiped out after that. But I captured, some images of my kids in their costumes.
And, cool. Feel sorry for the teachers the next day.
Yeah. Try putting the kids down after that. No, they, we, of course, when it comes to candy in our household, they put all their candy in one, bowl, and then, they get maybe one or two candies on Halloween, and then, a couple throughout, the week as they go along. And mom and dad get to rate it whenever they want. So, that's the tax for living in my household. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and let's move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. Today is going to be a little bit different, and different because of the train wreck that we were having in the beginning, which you guys didn't hear. One of the things we alluded to last week was that we are going to do a new weekly photo challenge, but we wanted to sort of take the opportunity right now to kind of explain it before we get there. So, we are, Greg, Dave, and I are going to be submitting images for you guys to be able to download and manipulate. And, you can do, one or two different, things to it, or I mean, not things, but you could, you can, submit, go ahead, Greg. I mean, Dave.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing a bit of an echo. I'm not sure if everyone else is hearing that. Okay,
no,
it's gone.
No.
Sorry, guys. I don't know if you were thinking about, you could do all three or one of them. And if you want to do, at least in my mind, if you want to try different edits for the same photo.
Yes. Yes, that's what we're talking about. So you don't have to pick one photo. You can pick all three. Just take it and run with it. Most of the time when people capture an image, they have something in mind that they want to do. And so a lot of times there are other people that see the same image and they see something totally different. And, it's the one unique thing that is about the human race is that we're not robots. We don't think the same. We don't do the same things. We're creatives. We have different things in our lives that will inspire us, that will give us a vision, and it's different from everyone else. Every once in a while, you'll run into somebody who has the same vision and you feel sorry for them. But I'm just kidding. we want to be able to take this and be able to see what it's sort of like a social experiment. We want to see what you guys can do and the different variations of the photos. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's sort of like, in my mind, I think there are endless possibilities. It's just like music. When you think that all the music has been thought up, composed, played, and, recorded, there's always a new style that comes out. There's always new songs that come out. Now, I wish that was the case for movies, but it seems like the movie industry likes to take something that they've already done and beat it to death at least five or six times, music is something that is very close to works closely with photography. And I think that, their photography is one of the genres, one of the platforms to be able to take your creativity and apply it and have something totally different from other people. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, I think it's really nice to see what other people, what their vision is, what they can come up with. I mean, like you said, everybody's got a different vision, a different thought, a different idea. And just seeing what they can do with a photo as far as editing goes kind of says something about them, maybe. You know, there's some folks that will want to do a quick, simple edit, and then there's other folks that will want to just make something totally artistic and crazy out of the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, picture yourself in a pottery class or something, or a sculpting class. Not everybody is going to have the same sculpture at the end of the day.
No.
So I think it's a great exercise for us as photographers and for artists to just see what the heck we can come up with.
Yeah. What about you, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, there are times, and also I'm thinking in terms of, let's say, various apps everyone has. There are certain apps that I've tried to dabble in, and yeah, it just doesn't work out. And I've seen what results people come up with, and it's like, not only would I not have thought about going that direction, but I had no idea how to use a tool like that. Or even tools I use, like in Light, there are some filters on there where it just completely throws something off into, like I said, in terms of a different direction, where if I'm thinking, well, I want to, let's say, look at a particular photo, but I want to enhance this particular color, and then you at random try something and go, wow, that's nice, I like it, but I never would have thought about going in that direction in the first place.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move into the apps. And I'll start with you, Greg. What are some of your apps that you go to when it comes to any of the images? Because you do mainly like landscape or scenic type stuff, you know.
Right.
Well, you take pictures of doors.
yeah.
No, but what? Take us through, you know, your workflow and sort of your creativity and in the vision that you have behind some of your images.
It's rather simple compared to how it used to be when iPhone photography first took off. My 4S was my first iPhone, and I was experimenting with just about any editing app that I can get my hands on, you know, with filters and effects and all different kinds of things. Where now I'm trying to just get a good photograph, and I really don't go too crazy with the editing. Basically, my workflow would be like this. I'm a big fan of Lumabee, as everybody probably knows.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is that it's fast, it's simple, it flows through the process very quickly, and I really like the results that I get with it. So what I will do is I will open up an image in Lumabee, and the first thing I'll do is just give it the structure slider, just bump that up a little bit, and that just kind of gives it a little more definition. It kind of subtly boosts the contrast a little bit. And then there's filters in Lumabee, but I rarely use them. I've tried a couple recently that are all right, but I usually bypass those, and I'll go to into the basic module where, there's crop. Crop is first. I generally don't crop too much. Then there's the filters. Then there's basics. And in the basic section, there's a slider for the exposure, contrast, and the structure. So that's where I'll do my structure setting. I'll just bump it up just a wee bit to give it a little pop in almost like texture. And then in the color, I'll just maybe bump up the saturation and the vibrance a little wee bit. Like, these moves are very subtle. Like, on a scale of from 0 to 100 on the plus or the minus side, I usually go plus 6 or 7 on the saturation and maybe plus 3 or 4 on the vibrance, just to give it a little bump in the color. And then the next section is highlights, lights, darks, and shadows. If there's like a bunch of trees or something in the foreground and I want to be able to see a little more detail in there, I might lighten up the shadows or the darks a little bit just to get to that point. Really not a lot of stuff goes on there for me. And then in the finalized section, you can give it a fade, which is kind of like a visco type of thing, feel to it. It kind of fades the blacks a little bit, makes it a little flatter or a bit more of a matte look to it. And then there's a vignette, and some images I'll give a vignette to, some not so much. But then there's sharpen, and I'll always sharpen them just a wee bit. I generally try not to over sharpen because it just doesn't look good. You see that the haloing effect on over sharpened images. There's also a grain setting, so if you want to make it look like it's like an old photograph or whatever, you can add a bit of grain to it, but again, rarely for me do I do that. And then quite simply, I just save it as a new image in the save section. And in their last update, they've enabled it to put a new timestamp on it when you save a new image, so that in Instagram you can add it to your stories, because then it becomes one of the last things you've done in the last 24 hours. Okay. Whereas before, they didn't do that, and you couldn't put an edited image in your Instagram story if it was older than 24 hours. So that's the gist of my editing. Now, I will do a lot of the same things right in the Photos app on the iPhone. And as far as on the phone goes, that's about it. Now, on the Mac, we're talking a different story here. I don't use Lightroom, but I use one called Luminar. And it's very close to Lightroom in a lot of respects. It's missing some features that Lightroom has. But if I want to do some serious editing, say I want to brighten up the bottom half of the image and leave the top half alone, that type of thing, I could do that in Luminar, whereas I don't have an app on the iPhone that will do that. So that's pretty much the gist of my editing. Just very subtle editing, just basically to enhance the image. I call it enhancing by bumping up the color and maybe the contrast and sharpening, and that's about it.
Cool.
I'm not I know Matt Hoffman does some absolutely amazing work with Nlight and with Mextures and all these different apps, and I don't know how he keeps it all straight, but the man's a genius. That's all I could say.
I agree. Dave,
what, he is listening. So
he is listening, unless he already dropped off.
maybe.
Dave, why don't you go ahead and take us through your workflow?
Sure, and mine actually kind of starts off the choosing the camera app, depending partially on the type of photo I'm looking at. A lot of times I'll use just the base camera app. But if I'm doing anything that is macro, or if I'm a little concerned about being a little shaky, I'll use Camera Plus to take it, because it does have the stabilizer and the macro mode. Generally, I'm not a big fan, and even though that was the first heavy editing app I actually used was Camera Plus, I really don't use the editing in that much anymore. If I'm doing something that I kind of want to do like a widescreen vertical shot, Lightroom lets you do widescreen vertical, where I know if you use just a straight building camera app, or not the camera, but Camera Plus, you want to do a widescreen. It you go vertical, it just kind of crops it real small. And I don't know, I just recently seemed to been going for the Lightroom CC which is nice. You can use without having a light, without having a Creative Cloud subscription to use that. If I do take something in the Lightroom, I like to use the one tool they have, Dehaze. Hmm. It just seems to wipe away some of the cloudiness, if there's any in a photo.
Yeah.
And I think partially it's caused by, I know the lenses do have, or at least that, and eventually they did turn the sapphire coated, but part of it for me is maybe just the age of the camera and just little scratches overall, making things a little dull here and there.
Fingerprints, oils, all that exactly. type of stuff can get on there. Yeah.
So using that, I mean, it darkens it, but it also tends to clear it up. So a lot of times I'll do some basic editing in there. And then it depends on what I do with it. I really have kind of three go-to apps. One is the Lightroom CC. And like I said, if I take it in there, I'll definitely edit it in there. I think the one limitation for me is that it's not as easy to mask certain parts of the image. So it's more of if I have one area I want to work on, I'll have to work on the entire image and then put it into another app. The other thing I don't like about the Lightroom and in Light is that you have to import the photos and then save them versus Snapseed, where you can just open it up from your camera roll and save it right to the camera roll and overwrite the image, so you don't have to create duplicates of the photos.
Yeah. I always do duplicates, but that's my insanity. Go ahead.
But yeah, so obviously the other two I like are Snapseed and InLight. Snapseed I like for, I don't want to say basic edits, but it's nice to do just general edits and general cleaning up of images too. And in Light, I like some, not only for, like I said, selective editing where I can mask certain things and put filters on only certain parts of the photo. But I do like the fact that some of the wilder filters, especially the urban ones, where, again, you can take an image where it's, like for me, I'll have a thought in my mind of how I want to have an image look at. I'll take the photo, come back to it when I actually have time to actually edit it and go, yeah, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but it wasn't bad enough that I just want to get rid of the image. So I'll put a wild kind of, you know, really abstract filter on it to kind of throw in kind of what Instagram was used way back when it's like, yeah, the camera's not that good. I put a crappy filter on it so it hides the fact it's not the best filters, picture.
Yes.
And a couple of the other ones, I mean, kind of like secondhand. If I want to do something in black and white, I'll try it in the other apps like Snapseed. But I like darker for that we talked about last time. And yeah. And I'm going to have to give credit to a Petapixel here. They mentioned a new app and I'm just starting to play with it for, more bokeh effect. And I have no idea how it's pronounced. It's FOCOS. So I don't know if it's Focos or if they're trying to pronounce it.
Focus. Probably just Focus.
Yeah. So it's for dual camera phones only. But what it does is this is new with iOS 11. It now allows third-party apps to read the depth information on it.
Spell that again?
Sure. FOCOS.
Okay.
Actually, I put it in the
The
show notes there.
I see it.
Both for the iTunes. And like I said, I think you'd have to have the camera with two.
You have to have the pluses or
you have to have
10.
A dual camera one. Yeah, one of the plus ones. Or if you're one of the lucky ones who maybe you're in Australia now and you already got your iPhone 10, as they're already out there in some parts of Europe when we're recording.
It says that it's compatible with, it has to have iOS 11. Okay. Point
oh, they have
or later,
but 7 it's on
compatible
here.
With the 5S.
Okay, so I'm thinking if you take it with a phone that actually can do depth effect, you can edit it in one of those.
I'm downloading it right now.
Okay. So the nice thing is with, and this, like I said, this is something I just started earlier today, was, and it is free for some of the basic editing. But the nice thing is, since now the depth effect isn't just, oh, it's a depth effect, you know, sharpen the back, sharpen the front, bokeh in the back, but it now has all the depth information in the photo. You can say, well, I want to focus what's in the background and leave the foreground blurry. And you can do that after the fact.
Huh.
And you can actually select it where it'll actually give you a 3D rendering showing the depth effect. So you can actually say, well, I want this part to be my foreground and that part to be my background. And not just do an outline of what it is, but it'll actually show you by rotating it. So you can make some more adjustments that way, give you a little more control. And so, like I said, it isn't just like some of the older apps where it was, highlight what you want to have in focus and we'll highlight what you want to have out of focus. It actually says, well, that's in the front and this is in the back.
Nice.
Now, the one thing is, if you want to go and use the pro version, the pro part of it, it has a lot more features, a lot more kind of adjustments you can do. The only problem is you just can't out and out buy the pro upgrade. So you either get 2 hours for free, or, and I actually wrote this down, 1 month, it's subscription only. So it's 1 month for $1 or $5.99 for a year.
All right. So number one, it took me a little bit when I typed it in the way it's spelt. iTunes was like, oh, you probably meant focus with a U. And so we're going to throw all these other ones on top before you can actually get to the one that you misspelled, which is spelled correctly. And so I finally found it. I downloaded it. And then I went to take a picture and this popped up. Focus is designed for dual cameras. You should run it on a set iPhone 7 Plus, an iPhone 8 Plus, or an iPhone 10. You can check the sample photo and know how it works. So it gives you an option to do the sample photo. So apparently it doesn't work for the 7 like it, or the, so this is what they have on their compatibility. It says iOS 11 or later, compatible with the 5S, the 6, 6 Plus, 6S, 6S Plus, the SE, the 7, 7. So it goes on all the way up. Apparently it doesn't. So you can download it, but you can't use it.
Well, like I said, I think it's, if you have, let's say you're a multi-phone household and one person does have the dual camera and one doesn't.
Yeah.
You can take the, because the depth information's baked into the photo. So yes, you can take a photo off of someone with the depth effect and then adjust it. So you can edit it there if you can't take it.
You can edit that image on those other ones that can't take the image.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Let me see if this will work here. And I'll send this to you so you can, let me see it. No, it's not going to work that way. I'm going to do this way then. I did a photo and I actually took it in app, but like I said, you can take it outside of app too, and did a little test here, and I'll send it to Joe so he can post it if he wants, that I did of our dog kind of looking on the side here. And it was kind of nice that I was able to make some adjustments in terms of what was considered depth and which wasn't. And make the background stronger, a stronger bokeh effect or a weaker one.
Yeah. Where did you send that link?
That's at Matt DeBoer. I put it in the Facebook Messenger chat.
Got it. Okay. And I'll have I will put it in the show notes. Very cool. Now, I'm a little bit more simple when it comes to my editing. I don't go overboard with the edits like I used to. So I got on Instagram back in 2010. When did 2011 or 2012? I can't remember. But I first got into Instagram when I had the iPad 1. And
wow.
Yeah, so I bought the iPad. I didn't have an iPhone at the time. And there was Instagram. And so for the most part, I was viewing a lot of stuff. I couldn't take any pictures with the iPad. It had no camera at the time. But I could import images onto my iPad and then do edits on Instagram and then post them. So I'll have to go back. But I think 2011 is when I first started posting on Instagram. And so there was a lot, you can do these presets and everything and, you know, kind of bake it into the image and then post it. And then after a while, I kind of got tired of it. I wanted to do things that were more subtle. And Snapseed came along and I really got into using Snapseed, to where Snapseed is pretty much my go-to. All these other ones like Enlight, quote unquote, I'm doing this for Matt, Enlight came out, all these, you know, other ones, I'll buy them, I'll download them, I'll get them for free, but I generally don't go back to them. I generally will, let them sit there and collect dust, except for Snapseed. And, years ago, Snapseed used to cost $4.99 in the app store, and it was a very good use of $5. You know, $4.99 for an app. Oh my word, that's expensive. Well, yes and no. No being that we were used to what it would cost to buy Photoshop or Illustrator, or some of these other editing tools for 100 times what it would cost to buy Snapseed. And then when Google bought them, they decided to make it free. And so whenever somebody says, hey, what kind of editing app should I get? I say, get Snapseed. It's awesome. The things I like about it is it's changed, but when you first bring in an image, they actually will give you those presets to start with. And you can go through, they've got portrait, smooth, pop, all the way to black and whites, or you can create your own. You can actually create your own baked in presets, so that, you know, let's say you have a series of images that you want to edit and you want them all to be pretty much the same, you can create your own look, as they put it. And with that look, you don't have to go through, go through your notes. Oh yeah, I kind of put the sharpness at over 7+, or, and then go down the line from, you know, everything and everything. And, you know, last iterations, they gave you a chance to copy your settings and apply it to another image. Well, now you can create a look, or you can bypass it and go into the nooks and crannies and, you know, deal with white balance, with curves, details. You could tune the image. You can crop it, rotate it, change some perspectives, all the way down the line, they've done a very good job of giving you a lot of tools to play with. And then you have your export options. Your export options are you can save the image as it is and overwrite what the original image was, or you can save a copy with the edits. A lot of times what I do is I don't like to save over an image that I've taken. I'll usually create another one with it. And I'm using up a lot of space, but that's my cross to bear. And then I'll export. And when I export it, everything's baked in. You can't go back into that image and change it. So there are a lot of different things you can do with it. And for the most part, the only other type of app that I will go in after using Snapseed with is the Tada SLR for the depth of field effect. And so those are basic, my two basic go-tos. The other ones I may use, or, you know, I bought them and thought I'd use them, and then they just kind of sit there and I'm like, yes, I did actually download that. Am I going to use it? Nah, I'm good. I'm going to go back to Snapseed. So I don't want to say I'm boring that way, but I found something that I like. And you're going to find something that you like also. Does that mean that all the other apps out there that you're not using, you're wasting? No. Because not everybody has the same taste. Not everybody has the same vision. And so what we're going to probably do is when you download our images to edit, let us know what apps that you used for the edits and kind of take us through what your vision is, because that is probably what is missing from a lot of images. Is the, what was my vision? What did I foresee this to be? How did I come to the decision to edit it the way that I edited it? So that is something that I would love to see. And what I'm actually going to do is under the weekly photo challenge is post all three images, and in the replies to those images, I want everybody to kind of put that category, pretty much categorize the images under those ones that we edited, so that all you have to do is go through and the thread and see them all in their variations. Unless you guys have a better idea.
No, that makes sense for me.
Okay. So, all right. Just to clarify, you know, when we say we're going to put those images to download, those are the only images that we're asking everybody to download off of the Facebook group. You know, we had a little incident a couple weeks ago where somebody downloaded an image without permission. And, you know, it could have blown up and got ugly. But, you know, we want everybody to know that the images that we are posting, we want you to take and to manipulate. So, you know, you may be like, oh, I don't like it when people take other people's images. We're asking you to do it. You know, we're not saying, oh, but if you post it, you know, and do something with it, we're going to come after you. No, these are images that we're putting out there, sort of as like Creative Commons. You can, you know, take it, do with it as you please. Just don't sell it, you know. Or if you do, I'd like a good chunk of that. But, you know, these are images that we are allowing people to download. All other images that are on the Facebook group, we are asking that you don't take and edit and post on Facebook again. Those are going to be, you know, we may have another thread somewhere down the line or another weekly photo challenge where you submit images for people to be able to take and edit. But until then, you know, just we'll go ahead and stay within the confines of the weekly photo challenge and the images that we're going to put in there to change.
Yeah, copyright infringement is a pretty serious offense, a lot more serious than maybe a lot of people realize. And it could just get real messy. So,
yeah.
You know, very well put, Joe, as far as what the rules are here with this.
All right. Well,
I would also say, oh, I'm sorry, Joe, real quick, just that the three images that we're all posting, the one thing and we did not plan this at all, they are three completely different types of images.
Did I see yours, Greg? Yes, I did.
It's in that Facebook Messenger chat.
Did I see Dave's?
Just scroll up a bit and you'll see it.
Hold on. I got to do this the crazy way and go through my phone because apparently I don't know how to use my computer in Facebook. Oh, okay. I got it. So I see Dave's. Great. Okay. All right. So having said that, let's go ahead and move into our post pick of the week. And it helps if I have this pulled up. All right. That would be right here. All right, it is Greg's turn this week. Ha ha ha.
And I would like to say thanks a lot. It was not easy. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of good pictures submitted to this this challenge.
So just to remind everyone, these were the fall colors. These were images that people posted of fall colors. And how many would you say were posted?
I didn't count, but I'll bet you there's got to be about 70 or so.
Yes. I think I kept getting notifications all day long for the last 2 weeks of people posting images. That's awesome.
Yeah, posting and commenting and oh man, it was a tough one. But I think I made the right decision. I have picked one by Richard Tassari. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And what's really unique about this is the fact that he took it with an iPhone 5.
Wow.
Dave
nice.
Pointed that out to me earlier tonight. And so, you know, that just goes to show you that it's not always about the gear. So, I mean, it's not always about having the latest and greatest in iPhone or smartphone. This thing's got, 4 or 5 year old technology built into it. So what it is it's a photo taken at Klickitat River Canyon in Washington. And he used Camera Plus. So other than that, I don't know what he did for editing, if anything. But it's what I found unique about this image is that the foreground is deciduous trees with the leaves in their full splendor of color of oranges and yellows and reds. And then in the central part of the image, it goes into some tamarack trees or those types of trees that have kind of like the needles that actually fall off. They're deciduous trees, but they look like an evergreen. And then in the background, going up, it looks like a mountainside. There's actually a bunch of evergreens.
Yes.
And so it goes from reds and oranges to greens and yellows to bluish greens in the far background. And it's just, you know, fall color. That's what it's all about. And it's just an amazing photo that I could just imagine what it would look like on my wall.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, the layer of the photo and the different, where it's almost each level is a different, not only just a different color, but a different type of color where you have the vibrant, warm colors in the front. You have the more muted greens and you have the dark green of the evergreens and the pine trees in the background.
Yeah.
With the snaking river kind of cutting through everything.
Yeah. I like it. It's a beautiful image and it makes me want to be there. And if an image definitely says, if it makes you feel like you want to be there, I think for certain that this is a good choice for a post pick of the week. So good job, Greg, on picking it. And congratulations to Richard for post pick of the week. If you are interested in becoming a post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and look for our weekly photo challenge that we have pinned at the top and participate. And, you know, who knows? We may pick your image. And we use the images for our album art that we use on the website for the show. And we also will put it on our Facebook cover photo as a way to showcase not only the post pick of the week, but to showcase what our listeners are doing. You know, we want to make it clear that, you know, we don't sell these images, but, you know, this is a way for us to show off what our listeners are doing and have some beautiful images all at the same time. So this is always a highlight of my week, is to see what you guys are posting. Unfortunately, we can only pick one at a time each week, but we are very amazed at times at what you guys are doing, and it is awesome to see.
I had a short list of about five that I had to really sit down and look through again. You know, there's just so many good pictures of fall colors.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, good job to everybody in the group, and keep it up.
Yes. Very cool. Well, all right. So we've already talked about what we're going to do for our weekly photo challenge. The next thing that we have to do is make sure that, and I will do it tonight. I will post the images on the Facebook group, and that will, you know, and I'll make it really clear in the post that we want you guys to participate. We want you guys to take our images and stretch them, mold them, bake them, do whatever you can. Do what?
Have their way with them.
Yeah, have their way with them. And, you know, and just have fun. And you know, show us what your vision is, and also take a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be very long, but explain it too. We want you guys to take us through your journey on where you got to your vision. And I think this is going to be an interesting and fun weekly photo challenge for us, because we've tried some of these before, but we haven't tried it in this capacity, and I'm looking for it, and we haven't done it for a while, so this may be something we do maybe once or twice a year, and we may see if our audience would like to participate in that type of fashion also. But we want to make sure that the boundaries are clear, and that you feel safe about how images are handled and, you know, and everything. So we're going to start with us because we, you know, we've got thick skinned and we're, well, for the most part, you know, my feelings can be hurt, but you know, I try not to show it. You know, but we want us to be the guinea pigs on this and, you know, and the canary in the coal mine and, you know, we want to see how this works, and then we may open it up to having other people do that too. All right. Well, is there anything else that you guys would like to mention?
Not really. Hopefully, and I would say the only thing is that if you are one of the lucky ones who ordered an iPhone X and received it, not just ordered, but actually had that, what, probably like 4 minutes before everything sold out for 5 weeks. If anyone does have it, just post what you think of it. If you happen to get, you know, I know no one necessarily has time to do a full review, but, you know, not just interested in what people's first real world going out, not a, you know, here's a special review unit from Apple, but just an average review, an average unit out there, and see what you think of it.
Yes, yes.
I did see a post in another Facebook group that I follow where a fellow had his already. He got his, you know, maybe he's, you know, on the other side of the world, I don't know, but he got his. He had it sitting on his desk, and he took a picture of it and put it on that group.
He's from the future.
They're starting to flow in there.
Yeah, yes. I'm interested to see what people are going to do, and I'm very interested to see what our audience thinks of it, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me
I'd just like to mention real quickly that I noticed on the Moment website, for anybody that is interested in trying out their lenses, the Samsung Galaxy S8, they're actually taking pre-orders now for the photo case that fits on that phone. So there's a bit of Samsung love out there by Moment.
Oh, very good.
Coming up. I don't know when they're actually going to be selling them, but they're taking pre-orders now at 20% off. So if you got a Samsung Galaxy S8 and you want to try a Moment lens, you're in luck.
Watch your language, young fella. This is a public market.
All right. Oh, let's wind this train wreck down, and let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Barely.
All right. I think we have reached the end of our rope tonight, and so let's do this. Dave, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram as ProfPod, and in the Facebook group is Dave Podner.
Excellent. Greg, tell everyone where they can find you.
Okay. On Instagram, I am Red Door Photos, and on Twitter, I am Greg S. McMillan.
Very cool. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our Facebook group, our YouTube channel, and other things like our show notes by going to tinyshutter.com. And like I said, if you would like to participate in our weekly photo challenges, join us on Facebook. Look for the pin post at the top of the page and participate. We'd love to see more participation and the creativity and amazements that abound from it. We absolutely love to see what you guys are doing. So please join us there. All right, gentlemen, I think we have ourselves a show. So why don't you guys say goodbye to everybody?
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a glorious week.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Let's go. Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Nothing! Absolutely nothing!
I think those odds were a little low with 95% of absolute disaster.
Yeah. It sure were tonight.